nothing to see here.
Nothing to see here.
Nothing to see here?
Nothing to see, nothing to see, nothing to see.
Experimental radio produced by NASCAD University.
You are listening to Nothing to See Here. Experimental radio from NASCAD University. This episode is entitled In the Shadows.
Tried to talk to a groundhog?
Have you ever tried to listen to a groundhog?
No. You just use us for weather. And weather-related holidays.
And whether or not we're actually interested in participating, if you know what I mean, huh?
Do you know what it's like to see your own shadow as a groundhog? Traumatizing. I thought it was clear.
Groundhog Day.
It's Groundhog Day.
It can be an awful shock to find out that you're actually made of a solid mass such as that blocks the light from the sun from reaching the ground. Off-putting, at least. Oh boy. I was hoping I wouldn't even have to go down that road, but we're delving in. Looks like we're going in all the way, boys.
Tom Cruise is a groundhog.
It's true.
Tom Hardy is a groundhog.
All your favorite stars are groundhogs.
Tom Hanks. Groundhog.
You ever see a human puppet? You have.
Yeah, you might not realize it, but you have.
Most celebrities are just 7 groundhogs in a costume.
Groundhogs were made for one thing, and that one thing is burrowing.
Into trench coats and attractive suits in Hollywood. You know, our burrowing has led to a number of human advances, such as groundhog burrows have been known to reveal at least one archaeological site, the Ufferman site in the U.S. in the state of Ohio.
Many sexual acts start with burrowing.
This is undeniably true.
You'd be planting dead bodies down there, and we'd just be burrowing in them.
It's a reasonable source of warmth. There's a food supply for a short time. And then once that initial food supply runs out, then you've really gotten the feel of getting into the skin of the act.
As soon as it's planted in the ground, there's actually some ways to use that body once it's hollowed out. And once it is hollowed out, really, it's a ticket upstairs.
Yeah, upstairs. I remember the first time they sat me down with the boss, and, it wasn't even the boss. It was a low-level management type. He really laid out the truth for me, or as much as the truth as they were willing to give out, as it were. I don't know what's really going on. I just take the orders that come down from above. It's awful.
And where are the orders coming from? Tom Cruise the Groundhog.
They made us hold on to those sticks with a tiny little paws. They made us sit there for hours while they measured something.
What most people don't know is thetans are actually just woodchucks.
Yeah. How many of them?
Well, how many woodchucks would for woodchuck? Could chuck. Would.
It's one of those unsolvable math problems. stumping the geniuses all over the world. Lord Xenu doesn't even know.
He said, let me send all these alien ghosts to Earth.
Alien souls! Alien souls!
Ghosts, souls, woodchucks, groundhogs, beavers.
Groundchuck.
Spirits. We're all just made up entities.
We're all just groundhogs inhabiting a dead body.
Some would have you believe that the American groundhog has been here since the dawn of time. However, let me tell you, the American groundhog hasn't always been the American groundhog. At first, it was the Tasmanian ground devil. We were brought here by settlers, usually the Masons, and used to create tunnels and railroad systems. And then we were discarded. And it wasn't until Scientology gave us a purpose to live. Thanks, Tom Cruise.
You ever hear of the Illuminati? I assume if you've been on the internet, you've heard of the Illuminati. At least in the joking tone of the internet communities and the forums, memes, etc., etc. Yeah, it's a big joke, haha, I understand, but it's not. It's not, okay? It's real. I remember the first time I suspected something was up was when I woke up and, I saw my shadow in the morning, and then in the evening before I was going to bed, my shadow was taller. It had changed size throughout the day. I had gone from being a small groundhog to being a tall groundhog. That was unnerving, to say the least. It's a good thing we got Tom Cruise and company watching out for us, huh?
Tom Cruise's million-watt smile is what makes me think the Enlightenment is back. And that this darkness, this shadow, is just gonna go away. The Illuminati, and the banks that control them, would have you believe that sucking a mint is gonna make your day better. But let me tell you, that's just a load of hogwash. If you wanna feel better, just stop on, have a personality test. You'll find out something about yourself, I know I did.
It's a bit of a different situation being a groundhog in the south. Now, because of climate differences, all the groundhogs not always synced up, so to speak. We do communicate with our cousins to the north and the west and the east, but it's difficult to stay in touch during the more busy times of year. You understand.
Well, we'd just be thumping the tunnels. And they said that thumping the tunnels didn't really communicate to other groundhogs, but I told them, shut the f***, I'm gonna thump these tunnels. And sometimes I hear thumping back.
It's sort of like a Morse code of sorts. A subterranean, subcutaneous, submerged, subliminal kind of a Morse code that can only be understood by hogs, ground or otherwise.
Sometimes you can get tricked by a train, though. Trains are those things that travel above ground, upstairs as I call it, and they can be shaking the ground and you can think, oh my god, party! And then you go up there and you're like, where's the party? And then you're waiting, and then all of a sudden, you just...
Both their diet and habit of burrowing make them serious nuisance animals around farms and gardens. They will eat many commonly grown vegetables, and their burrows can destroy farm ponds and undermine foundations, and there is a thriving business exterminating them. Their preferred habitat of grassy areas near woods also makes them abundant along roads and highways, where they often become the victims of passing cars.
It's not a conspiracy, and enough time has passed now that I feel confident in revealing this information without having to worry about someone coming after me in my sleep, you know what I mean. Because of our preferred diet and habitat, there is a thriving business in exterminating us. Or there was.
I was there when my neighbor, Leonard, said he was gonna create a drowned dog drown day. And I bet him a horseshoe he couldn't do it. And I told him, I said, no one's gonna listen to you. But there you go. Know what day it is today? Well, today is...
It's Groundhog Day.
It's Groundhog Day!
A report in 1833 by the New Hampshire Legislative Woodchuck Committee illustrates the attitude of some people towards this animal. In part, the report states, "The woodchuck, despite its deformities, both of mind and body, possesses some of the amenities of a higher civilization. It cleans its face after the manner of the squirrels, and licks its fur after the manner of a cat." Your committee is too wise, however, to be deceived by this purely superficial observation of better habits. Contemporaneous with the Ark, the woodchuck has not made any material progress in social science, and it is now too late to reform the wayward sinner. The average age of the woodchuck is too long to please your committee. The woodchuck is not only a nuisance, but also a bore. It burrows beneath the soil, and then chuckles to see a mowing machine, man and all, slump into one of these holes and disappear. Your committee is confident that a small bounty will prove of incalculable good. Even as an experiment, it is certainly worth trying, therefore your committee would respectfully recommend that the accompanying bill be passed.
So there you have it. They think we're intelligent, but not intelligent enough. So we had to invent a day. We had to prove our worth. And with that, we somehow convinced the intelligent humans that us seeing our shadows determined the weather. Who's the dumb one now?
My name is Groundhog Sam. I'm real, I'm not a puppet. Audition after audition, I've been trying to break into the children's television world. And every audition, they just try to get me to talking about my shadow. And I tell I don't do the shadow act anymore. I just want to get into children's television. And I say, ha ha ha. And I say, ha ha ha. I'll do whatever you want. I'll talk about the shadow. And they say, no, just leave. And I'm like, all right. And that's it. That's it.
The problem with Groundhog Sam, who the wannabe children's television star, is that he's not really a groundhog. He's a gopher. A gopher, and that is not a term we throw around lightly in the groundhog community. All right, we've got groundhogs, we got prairie dogs, We got marmots, muskrats, minks, weasels, ferrets, etc. But gophers and groundhogs have a history of not getting along. And if that imposter tries one more time to get onto the television in front of my grandchildren, it's ridiculous! The Underground needs to wake up and cast out Groundhog Sam, the gopher.
Clove cigarettes. That's right. Marshall's clove cigarettes.
Do it again.
I smoke clove cigarettes. That's right. Marshall's clove cigarettes.
Stop. You need to do it with more
pizzazz.
I smoke clove cigarettes. That's right.
Stop. Your spacing is all over the place. I just have the feeling you're not meant to be an actor.
Okay.
You gotta take a breath, you know. Say it like you mean it, son. Come on.
I smoke clove cigarettes. That's right. Clove cigarettes. Marshall's clove cigarettes. And they're delicious, children. I smoke clove cigarettes. That's right. I can't do this. Can you give me a second? I need a water.
Let's talk. Tom Cruise is not going to be satisfied with this performance. No, we need to consult with the Toms. Thanks.
I'll never forget the morning we arrived. Traveled there by steamship. Took all night before. The sun, god-awful in its glory. The glow foreshadowing the grim glow of bone, lit by lantern light. Oh, the captain. The captain, Alfred Lebedkin. Fond of birds, coarse with his cabin boy. All the crew of the steamship piling up the ropes, hands tarnished bronze from the lacquered ropework, from the boat to the airship. The wrought iron hooks, full 5 feet long, hanging on our leathery backs. Later we would hush each other with a glare, as plumes of scorched air and sulfurous smoke bitted our noses and throats. We would use these hooks to climb up the honey beast. Climb up to try to get to its briefcase and undo the latches. But no, the sun was rising too soon for us. And yes, the honey beast awoke, and with its awakening, its eyes opening, reticulated like a reptile, opening and suddenly fixing on these little mites of men crawling up its body with our iron hooks. The things I saw. And that lantern light of blue. The things I saw and the blood and the screeching. None of us could get down in time. It would fling us high into the air. And as we fell into the trees, hoping for the trees to break our fall, but instead they broke our backs. Skulls open, oozing brains. No, I hid inside the folds of the honeybee skin. And I didn't come out, not for days. And I was hungry, and I ate the mildew that grew in those folds.
and all the crew of the steamship, they all met their demise. How I came back, I waited in the forest by the honey beast, near the honey beast lair, and I hid, hoping that another assail would be made on the honey beast's briefcases. And it did, and I was rescued. And the honey beast, it was put to slumber with the sulfurous smoke from the airship gallows. Things I saw I cannot speak of, but I will never forget them, and I can never say them.
Down the slopes of the valleys and the hills to the village, the unsuspecting village. Hope it's not your village. Can you hear it?
Can you hear it coming through the trees and the branches? It's got a briefcase. Briefcase. Clacking, clacking, clacking.
There was a death that day in the morning gloom. When I found that Gavin boy, there was nothing left of him. I found fingers, I found teeth. I knew it was his because they were so small, but I found him. We had been drinking beaver tea all morning. We should have known, we should have been made wise by the beaver, the rodent fur. The flesh we consume, the tea we made. But nothing. Nothing. I thought I saw something that morning. I thought I saw some glimmer in the beast's eyes. Some glimmer of soul.
The groundhog is also referred to as a chuck, wood chalk, ground pig, whistler, thick wood badger, Canada marmot, monax, moonak, weenusk, and red monk. The name thick wood badger was given in the Northwest to distinguish the animal from the prairie badger.
Don't think those buggers aren't gonna bite your finger in two.
Or three.
Don't think those buggers won't bite a chunk out of your thumb. My family's been holding the whistle pigs probably about two generations. And we keep them in gas barrels, old gas barrels. The gasoline fumes keep them a little bit quiet. And when you stick your arm in there, you know, you want them to be a little bit docile, a little bit doused with the fumes. And you know, you get a good rise some time of the year. People care about them, but all the other times of the year, no one cares about them. My family does, though. Family cares a lot about them. We make tea from their guts. Treat it a little bit like soup, you know, just put it on the burner, keep it a stew, and we drink it. And you know what, my family's been taking over this community. I don't know if it's related to the tea, but we've been buying up plots of land, you know? More and more gas barrels, more and more whistle pigs. And I tell ya, it ain't for their furs.
Imagine Cameron Diaz pulling abruptly forward, stopping. Everyone humps forward in their chairs, slowly backing up, hand on the seat next to her, face facing backwards, parallel parking. Cameron Diaz watching for cars coming. Watching, knowing that she's in the lane, the traveling lane, and she must park away from that lane. She will turn her tires. Does she turn them towards or away? Is she on a hill? Birds in the distance.
In pet stores, the construction of time is very familiar. In pet stores, the construction of time is always and forever now. There is no then, there is no future. The past for these pets does not exist. It only begins once you have made your purchase, taking the pets from their sweating hands, the high school students who are late for their work every day, and they have handed you the fish or the puppy. Then time begins once you have made your purchase, once you have left. Everything in the store is engineered in the sense of timelessness. More than just a hotel or a subway station or a transient space. This is about no time. This is about cyclical time. This is about a vacuum in which pets are stored.
Honey. The honey beast. The honey beast is a dragon-like creature with foam spurting between their steaming fangs. The clacking of their briefcases as they march businesslike through the mountains. The honey beast must be subdued before the honey is harvested from the beast. A way to subdue the honey beast is to blow smoke, usually in the form of a hot air balloon, generally filled with a very coarse smoke, like the smoke from burning wet leaves. The honey beast must not be suspecting of the smoke. If the honey beast is awake when the smoke is blown towards you, you risk a honey beast attack. So you must come upon the honey beast generally 3 hours before dawn, emit your smoke from your usually hot air balloon, which has been dragged by another hot air balloon. The second hot air balloon being, of course, full of smoke. And you must release the smoke into this honey beast as it is curled around usually a few trees near a river. And if you do not subdue the honey beast, then, as I said before, it is likely you will not get out with your life.
It's Groundhog Day!
We have a league of celebrity groundhogs. You may have heard of some of them. Such as the well-known Punxsutawney Phil, Wyarton Willie, a Canadian, Jimmy the Groundhog, and Staten Island Chuck. Here in Nova Scotia, we have Shubenacadie Sam. They have attained acclaim through the media as being the mascot groundhogs for their respective areas, locales. But where they really got their foot in the door is in space. These are the highly trained groundhogs among us, who possess the skills not only to venture farther than any rodent has ventured before, but to venture along with the very race that's tried for so long to exterminate us. A lot of the program remains a mystery, but we celebrate them for their participation, and that's why they're the poster children of the movement. That's why they're the ones known to the society at large.
A bounty was put for the American groundhog, or
the American groundhog,
also known as the whistle pig, or Tasmanian ground devil. Roads kept falling in.
We kept
launch pads kept falling in,
having issues with tunnels being bored into by these rodents, and we kept finding fur in our showers, and it wasn't human hair, it was fur. So we gave them a job, we gave them a role. We wanted to know what would happen if we launched things into orbit, and we wanted to know exactly when the seasons would end. And we wanted to know whether or not the honey beast is real, and is it coming back? So we started a program of learning of the American groundhog. And this program had to remain, of course, top secret. And the program began with slowly dismantling the groundhog's sense of self and sense of community. We did this by putting them in large spaces where no tunneling or boring could occur, usually suspending them with hundreds of fine wires, so they would be suspended in the middle of a room in air, and they would struggle, and we would laugh. And eventually, from that struggling, we learned that they were trying to communicate something but didn't have the vocal cords to communicate to us in English. So we put a wall up against them, and they started thumping that wall. And we translated these thumps into a very binary language. One of the words seemed attacker or predator. Another word seemed run. Another word also seemed, it's okay, just chill out. And we started using this as a way to forecast whether or not to send things into space. And the only time that we did not listen to this was, of course, Columbia and the tragedy.
Absolutely.
Challenger.
They saw their shadow and knew.
There's so many thumps that we couldn't translate it.
Not only was it predicted by groundhogs, but many of us suspect that it was planned by groundhogs, those who were part of the Spanish missions. Wait. Groundhogs and science have a relationship stretching farther back than just the space program. We have been rebelling and standing up for our rights for decades, for generations, if not centuries. This is because groundhogs have been used in medical research on hepatitis B-induced liver cancer. A percentage of the woodchuck population is infected with the woodchuck hepatitis virus, WHV, similar to human hepatitis V virus. Humans do not receive hepatitis from woodchucks with WHV, but the virus and its effects on the liver make the woodchuck the best available animal for the study of viral hepatitis in humans. The only other animal model for hepatitis B virus studies is the chimpanzee, an endangered species. Well, when will our species become endangered enough to be worth preserving in your sick studies in the sciences? So we believe in cruelty-free studies. So we went to space. It was the next logical step. A demonic grocery store houses the cast of a remake of an interpretation of a remake of some experimental horror musical starring Tom Waits as the baker, Ben Stiller as the butcher, Winona Ryder, transient alligator tamer, Sarah Michelle Gellar, kick-ass cashier, the man who plays John Locke from Lost, Vagrant of the Isles, and a shifting someone else, Gary Oldman, Desmond, Robin Williams, quite respected and famously well-known. And a tiger that was the twist, but only in one take. I'm forced to relive the horrific climaxes and devastating conclusions that are rehearsed and replayed over and over again because that is how the movie was and is made. And fantastical weapon-juggling escapes. What a show! I want to tell Tom how great I think he is, but I play cool, even as we occupy the same cash register space. Our negative velocity traps us all in the turnstile, and we explode, or are crushed, burned, sliced, or escape to the parking lot where I, and sometimes some of my family, relive three or four more movies that never happened, starring beloved, acclaimed, and charming actors, and notoriously clever, but terribly corny and unrealistic, hilarious scenes I can't recall on this plane, parking cars, and classical music, four or five prospective restaurants with no pet supplies, endless pet stores, a 20-minute walk from the fictional pet store at Frontenac, and fictional street in the plateau to supply me with pet supplies for the three ferrets and three dogs to which I gave birth at once and participated strangely in the process, which was also very strange, spiky, and ever so small.
And of course, I got to call and make this glorious announcement of the first great-grandchildren to my maternal grandmother. Lord of the Rings, slash Lost, slash Tolkien, non-existent family reunited in a tower house in the cliff between worlds. Honey-catching, honey-fueled food supply that wasn't honey at all, and for which we had to fight and lose many. Generations of people I knew that I don't know. More cars, or vehicles at the least, hastily transporting children and quite aged across this honey country into a humble bungalow or split level that was at once in and one with the tower, and held the general manager of my greenhouse job. I planned how I might renovate this house, though I never did. How Tolkien did, but didn't, of course, set Middle-earth on our own earth in a way which, when read correctly, expanded itself into our own continents, from a Pangaea guarded by Balrogs and honey beasts, and compared with Rowling's magical world, was much more edge-of-the-seat tense and geographically expansive, but not nearly as visually stimulating. We were split over our differences, but still many of us survived. Retrograde, retrospect, I suspect, back in an apartment in which I didn't, used to live. My roommate is a fictional best friend of a fictional ex-lover. It's not weird, though. We share our knowledge of computers, and I offer my advice on an upgrade, but he wants me to bike to and from Lachine to get his bike. He lives there too, but there's something foggier before all this, in the same apparent apartment, but my dad is staying there on business, and I'm sorting through lifetimes of answers or something similar. Probably another grocery store, as there is a vague cake. Ocean thing, vessel, vague time travel. Papers, pages, pages, receipts, hidden value, things, my things, old things, other lives, but this whole dream is written in reverse, so sentence by sentence, go back and see if it makes any more sense.
Ocean thing, vessel, vague time travel, papers, pages, pages, receipts, hidden value, things, my things, old things, other lives, but this whole dream is written in reverse, so sentence by
sentence. And then when some of the response, people were like, what was that? And the past me said, it's a stream of consciousness style heteroprosaic account of my dream chronicles from last night, in order of freshest to faintest. I recorded a bunch of dreams in that time period, but they weren't always that poetic. That's the end.
Been listening to Nothing to See Here, experimental radio from NASCAD University. This episode was In the Shadows. This week's episode was improvised and performed by Jessica McDonald, Raph McDonald, Maeve Mulroy, and Mark Hines. Sound design and mixing were by David Clark. Nothing to See Here is produced at NASCAD University by David Clark. For more episodes, please search for Nothing to See Here Radio on SoundCloud.com. And please friend us on our Facebook page, Nothing to See Here Radio. Please join us again next week for more of Nothing to See Here. Thank you.